That's what your dollars are doing around the world. That sometimes when you make your missions pledge and your check is written, your donation is made, you wonder, is it really making a difference? That's what your money is doing. It's feeding people. It's seeing people come to Christ. And that's why we're doing the August 13th outreach in San Jose. It's not just about overseas souls, but those right in our own backyard. And so stop by the table and put your name on the list. Join me. Come out on the 13th and let's put more than just money in a plate, but let's put our skin in the game and let's reach out to folks. And it's a great time together too. There's a lot of laughing. It's just so fulfilling to go out and help people that are in great deal of need. Father, thank you for this morning. Help us to understand what you mean when you say the fruit of the Spirit is patience. We give you glory, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us through the worship time. And now, Father, open up our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I once heard someone say, a pastor say, praise is the plow that prepares the heart for the planting of the word. And I know it's kind of a tongue twister, but it makes sense. That's why we do praise and worship before the teaching time. Because you come in with all kinds of stuff from the week, and as we begin to praise the Lord, that praise is the plow that softens the heart, that breaks down all the stuff, that prepares us for the planting of the word. Are you ready for the planting of the word today? All right, let's say our verses together. Galatians chapter 5, in this series on the nature of real church. The nature of real church. Say it with me together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. I think I got that out of order. Gentleness and self-control. I have this. Let's do it again just for me because I screwed that up. Let's say it again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We're going to pause on patience today. If you have your outlines, circle the word patience on that verse. If you don't have an outline, the ushers can help us. You put up a hand and they can serve you. Also, if you're watching us online, you can get the notes that we have here live on the website. It says sermon notes at the top of the webpage, and you can click that and the notes will be there and ready for you. We've talked about undeniable love, unspeakable joy, unshakable peace, and today we're talking about untiring patience. How many are excited about learning about patience today? Yeah, me neither. I love talking about love and joy and peace, but can we like leapfrog patience? Can we like get to the kindness and the goodness and all of that part? Patience is hard. It's hard for us. We can easily overlook it. We can easily think, well, is it that big a deal? I mean, you know, everybody gets annoyed. Everybody gets irritated. It's just life, right? But no, the fruit of the Spirit, God's Spirit in us, produces many things, and one of those things that His Spirit produces is patience. And the reason we need it is because of relationships. We're here together. We've got to have patience if we're going to have any semblance of love and peace and joy in our relationships. The word patience in this passage in Galatians 5 means putting up with other people. Means it takes a long time for you to boil. This particular word doesn't refer to, you know, patience if you're caught in traffic. Now, maybe toward the other drivers, but if you're just waiting in line, I got to wait until it's my turn, or I have to wait until, you know, my boss says that in the future I'm going to get a raise, I'll just wait for that. Now, this is directly related to our interpersonal relationships, okay? This is putting up with other people. It takes a long time to boil. It means you don't have a short fuse. If you've got patience, the way this passage talks about, you've got a long fuse. There's some instances in life that just make you crazy. Amen? Anybody relate today? I think we're all going to be able to relate to today when we talk about this. I read of some people that could relate. Let me just read you what they said. One person said, I gave my husband the silent treatment for an entire week. And at the end, he said, wow, we really got along well there for a while, didn't we? Another guy said, my wife told me I ruined her birthday. And I thought, I'm sure that I couldn't have done that. I didn't even know it was her birthday. A lady said, the best way to get your husband to do something is to suggest he's too old to do it. And another guy said, my wife put up with my culinary experiments until I put ginger in the curry. She loved that cat. Yeah, some of you are catching on. It took you a second to get that one. You need a long fuse to live this life, don't you? You need a long fuse to get along with people. You could avenge yourself, but you choose not to. That's turning the other cheek. That's what Jesus was talking about. This word is most commonly used in the New Testament in relation to God's patience with us. Once in a while, it's about us with each other. It is in Galatians. But most often, God wants to remind us, hey, whenever you're kind of feeling impatient towards someone, remember how patient I am with you. Aren't you glad God doesn't have a short fuse? I am. I need God to have a long fuse in my life. Why is patience important? Let's look through this. Why is patience important? I want to give you three things. Number one, because we're different. We're all different. Some of us are glasses half full people. Some of us are glass half empty people. Who's a glass half full person? Always look on the positive. How's glass half empty person? Kind of tend toward the, I'm not sure if it's going to work out. Yeah, I knew. The glass half empty people don't raise their hands. Glass half full people are, yeah, that's me. Everything's great. Some are gray cloud people. Some are silver lining people. Some like coffee. Some like to be healthy. For those that are new, that's an inside joke. You got to be at Abundant Life a little while to get some of these inside jokes. God says everyone is an original, which is just a really nice way of saying we're all different. And boy, are we different. And God made us different on purpose. How boring would it be if everybody truly thought like you? We'd just be little robots walking around agreeing with each other, and it just gets really dry and really boring. I say this without any bit of racism in my speech, and you got to get this. I love our area because of its diversity. And when Sandra and I travel or go on vacation, and we get in an area that's predominantly white, I get a little nervous. Too many white people get me a little off kilter. I like this right here with all the flavors and all the colors and everything and that's beautiful, and it's great that we're different. It would be boring if there weren't the wonderful, restaurants that we have in our area and all the different kinds of food, because that's variety. And we need that variety. But with that variety and the difference brings conflict. Not everybody sees the same scene the same way. Coming into the parking lot, if there was a fender bender and four people happened to witness that fender bender, I guarantee you there'd be four different views about what really happened. Let's take this test real quick, okay? Listen to what I'm going to say. Take this test. Pretend you're back in high school and you get your report card. On your report card, it says you got 5 A's and 1 B. Pretty awesome. You got an A in English, an A in math, an A in history, an A in physics, a B in biology, and an A in PE. If this had been your report card, put up a hand if you would say, I'd feel good and my parents would feel good too. Okay? How many would say, my parents would want to know why I got a B in biology? Mine too. How many would expect a big reward from my parents because I brought home this kind of card? Okay? How many would feel sad because you didn't get straight A's? Okay? And how many would call the local news and hold a press conference because you got actually 5 A's? Okay, different, right? Everybody's responses are different. That's who we are. And depending on how you grew up or what kind of family you're from or what your expectations were, it makes all the difference. We need patience because we're different. Number two, we need patience because our differences create conflicts. Our differences create conflicts. Conflicts out of differences make us not understand each other. We're going to learn about understanding in just a minute. We just can't figure each other out. Why do they think that way? She doesn't understand me. He's not on my wavelength. My parents come from a different universe, I'm sure of it. He's like a brick wall. She's so emotional. Do those statements ring a bell with anybody? You can feel free to elbow your partner right now. Many of our conflicts are not an issue of right or wrong, but of a different viewpoint. Impatience comes from not understanding how the other person thinks. Sandra and I have had relatively few conflicts in our marriage. My tongue is firmly in my cheek. One of those that we've had a fun time with over the years is our recycling. You go out the garage, you just open the garage door from the house. Right there is our recycle bin, and it's very tiny, really small. And so because it's small, my view is that when you put stuff in there, it's smarter to break down the big stuff so it'll fit. Anybody already going ahead of me, right? Okay. Her idea is that just toss whatever in there. I mean, now to her point, the recycle bin, the big one that you roll out to the street, is just out the door and outside literally 10 feet. And so she's thinking, why take all the time to break down the boxes when you could just open the door and dump it out? And my thought is, but you can get more in the bin and take less trips. And she says, it's only 10 feet. Is it going to kill you? But there's this different, anybody else have stuff like that in your life? When you're both not wrong, but it's just a conflict. Because we're different. And that's the way it works. Well, are there absolutes in life? Sure there are. There are absolutes, but our problem is that we think our way is the absolute. We think the other person needs to understand to be flexible because our right is obviously the correct way. There wouldn't be any problem if you'd all just think like me. My side of the argument is clear. Your side is confusing. My frustration is justified. Your frustration is unwarranted. My side of the conversation makes perfect sense. Your side is a few fries short of a Happy Meal. We just don't see each other right. Now read the Bible. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to find out just how different we are. Same event, but those four authors saw things differently. And you know what? I'm glad they did. Because if we just had one gospel, how much would we have missed out by the other views of the other three writers? And God knew this ahead of time, inspiring four people, not just one, to write the account so that we would see Jesus from all angles and we would recognize the full picture of Jesus' life. It's important for us to see that differences bring us value, but we're different and our differences create conflict. Number three, God is love and God is patient. That's why we need patience. And I'm glad he's patient with you and me. 1 John says God is love. 1 Corinthians 13 says love is patient. So therefore, God is patient. Here's what Ecclesiastes 7:8 says. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. When you read these kind of proverbs, you got to read the whole thing and fit all the pieces together. The ending is better than the beginning. Have you ever gotten in a fight? And at the beginning, it's like, I know I'm right, and I'm going to prove to you I'm right. And then you start to work it out. You start to see and understand. And then you get to the end, and you've got resolve. The ending truly is better than the beginning, isn't it? Because you worked it through. That's what this is saying. The ending is always full of misconceptions, of frustration, of anger even, and of, why don't you see it my way? And then at the end, we go, oh, I see it your way. Or at least I understand what you're trying to say. And therefore, patience, the patience to get from the beginning to the end, to actually work it out, to actually figure it out and understand, patience is better. Because that gets you to the end. Pride won't get you there. Pride will stick you in the beginning, and you'll never get to the end where it's good. The ending is better than the beginning. Patience is better than pride. These are the reasons why we need patience. Now, of course, how do we get there? How do we get to develop this patience? Now, we have the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, when the Holy Spirit lives in us, He takes up his dwelling place inside, and he wants to develop this. But how many know there's a cooperation between us and God? God will do what we cannot do. He will not do what he's asked us to do. That's the rule. So we've got to do our part. Now here are four things to help you and to help me. I have to say that because my wife is here and she wants to make sure I'm listening to my own preaching. Four ways to become more patient with people. Number one, gain understanding by listening. Gain understanding by listening. If you want to learn to be patient, more patient, the key is understanding. The Bible says the key to this practice, the key to patience, is to understand each other. Proverbs 14:29, a patient man has great understanding. You might want to circle patient and understanding. They go together. If you don't understand someone, you're not going to be patient with them. You're just going to be frustrated. Why do they think like they think? Why do they do what they do? I don't understand their point of view. They've got to be wrong. Because I'm not. Of course. You've got to understand. If you don't understand what kind of relationship, what relationship they've had in the past, where they've come from, what kind of family they've come from, what country they grew up in, what their relationship with their parents were like, what kind of hurts they've had in life, then you won't understand why they do what they do, why they think like they think, why they say what they say. Paul Tournier, a Swiss psychiatrist, this is not gospel, but I thought it was pretty good. He said, no one can fully develop in this world and find a full life without feeling understood by at least one person. No one comes to know himself through introspection or in the solitude of his personal diary. Rather, it is in dialogue with other people. That's not found in the Bible, but that's pretty good. We need to understand each other and work to understand each other. When I see someone who's hurtful towards others, I've learned that hurting people hurt people. My first question is no longer, why is that person such a jerk? But now I ask myself, I wonder why they hurt so much. I wonder what hurt them so deeply that they just lash out like that. I wonder what happened when they grew up. When I see a homeless person and they're just clearly messed up, some of the ones that stand on our freeway on-ramps, the first thing I think about now is, they were born one day, and that day was a celebration, most likely. And there was a family there, most likely. And there was joy. And this little child grew up pure, just like our kids. And they ran out, just joyful, bubbly, bouncy little kids. And what happened between then and this time when that person's standing on the street corner? And it gives me a lot more compassion. It gives me a lot more patience with folks that might usually annoy me. To understand. Gain understanding by listening. Proverbs 18:13 says this, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. You ever answer before listening? Sometimes we speak before we hear. And James 1:19 says this, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's pretty clear. Don't evaluate what they do or what you hear until you've heard it all. Wait. Be slow to speak. Listen carefully. Find out clearly what's being said before you respond. I read this thing this week about a bullfrog. I didn't know this about bullfrogs, but apparently a bullfrog has a muscle that sends a vibration to the brain that when the bullfrog is giving that big, beefy croaking sound, they can't hear it. And it's kind of fun if you're maybe walking through a riverside or something and you hear the bullfrogs croaking. It can be kind of fun. But if you're trying to sleep, not fun. But this bullfrog can't hear it. This thing in the brain cancels it out so he can croak all the time. Croak, croak, croak. I can't make a frog noise, sorry. But whatever, you know what I mean. But they can't hear it. Some of us are like the bullfrog. We're croaking and croaking and croaking and croaking. And we don't hear anything else. We can't hear our own croaking that's making everybody else annoyed. principle is here. It's hard to listen when your mouth is open. How would you rate yourself as a listener on a scale of 1 to 10? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But maybe you write on your outline. Are you a good listener? Maybe I should ask that question a little bit differently. Are you a good understander of what people are saying? Because you can be a good hearer, but then not really a good listener, right? Yeah, I heard what you said, but I really didn't understand what you said. I heard your words, but it didn't compute to really truly understanding what's going on inside of you. Research has shown that only 7% of the meaning of what you say is communicated through our words. 43% of the meaning comes from how you say it. Like, how you doing? Fine. Fine. How many husbands know that's way different? Vocal tone, pitch, volume, delivery, etc. The remaining 50% of communication is contained in nonverbal language. Facial expression, hand gestures, body language, all of that. That's why when you talk on the phone, you really can only get 50% of the meaning. And with our digital communication now, it's terrible. How many have had an email miscommunication? Well, the reason is because you're only getting 7% of the real communication. You don't get body language and gestures, and you don't get tone. All you get's words. So all you're getting is 7% of the full understanding. That's why we get so many times with sharing emails. And you send it, and you get a response, and the person's not responding the way you thought, and you're thinking, well, I thought it was clear, but they heard something completely different, because the rest is all missing. Might be better just to pick up the phone or go see him face to face sometime to flesh out our communication. So let's listen to understand. When you gain understanding through listening, you'll become more patient. Number two, make allowances for each other. Make allowances for each other. You might want to circle that word allowances. Here's what Ephesians 4:2 says. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. That's what make allowances means. Bearing with one another. Be completely. Get out of yourself and get over yourself. Be humble. Be gentle. And let's bear with one another. That's how you develop patience. In other words, like we give our definition, don't boil over quickly. Don't have a short fuse. Don't be easily offended. Develop an ability to step back and say, wait a minute, I heard what she said, I'm tempted to get annoyed, I'm tempted to get offended, but I'm going to back up, I'm going to think about it a moment, let's find out what was going on there, and let's get some clarity. And then we can move on. Not all of us are good at that. I'll just be admit, I'm not good at that. I can be quick to make a judgment, and quick to not understand, and then it just creates chaos. Proverbs 19:11 says this, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is his glory to overlook an offense. It's to his glory, it's to your glory when you don't get offended easily, but instead you have patience, wisdom. Just hold on, I'm not going to fly off the handle. I'm going to have patience. Everybody has bad days. Anybody in here never have a bad day? Yeah, even you half glass half full people, even you silver lining people, you all got to have bad days. We all do. In our home, it's not a bad day. It's just maybe it's a sensitive day. After church on Sunday, after helping with worship team and doing Sunday morning and preaching and all this and being with you, and it's joyful and I love it all. But then we go home and I'm kind of tired. And Sandra knows he needs a little bit of a breathing space. If she comes on me with, hey, could you do this, and she knows not to do that. It'll be very bad for her. Just kidding. Be very bad for us. We all have those moments to understand. She understands that he's going to need a little bit of downtime. It's important for us to understand each other, to use wisdom, to overlook offenses, to not be easily insulted. I remember I learned this really well at a business meeting here at the church back when I was a brand new pastor. And we had a conflict in the business meeting, and there was a particular guy, a board member, who had an opposing view. And it was kind of annoying because it's always bad in a business meeting when your board members are disagreeing with you in public. But we had a disagreement, and the vote ultimately went the way that I wanted it to go. And afterwards, he came right up to me, and on his way down the aisle, I thought, oh man, I'm going to hear it now. I'm prepared to get blasted. And he came up, and he had a big smile on his face. He threw out a hand. He said, congratulations. I went, what? Congratulations? We just had this, you know, half an hour discussion, and you were on the opposing side. And I thought, that's wisdom right there. His goal wasn't to win, although he had an idea of what was right. But when it was all said and done, it's like, okay, now we've done it, we're together, and let's go. I thought, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. You have your discussion, even though you may find yourself on different sides. When it's all said and done, it's like, okay, now let's go. And not be easily offended. I need to add a parenthesis right here. Because of the culture we live in, and this is sensitive. Patience does not include agreeing with or approving of of immorality or falsehood. I need to bring this up because of what some things I'm seeing in our culture, especially around the gender confusion issues and the way Christians are choosing, not all Christians, but some are choosing to handle it. Because you see, and you're all very aware when someone is dealing with their own identity and they're choosing to be identified as something else, if you don't recognize that, then you might as well be ready for a dynamite of a fight. Because it's not, you're hateful. You're labeled hateful if you don't agree with that. And so because of that, that pressure to agree with me or you're a hater, call me what I want to be called or you're hateful and I'll have nothing to do with you, or even sometimes worse, there could be, you know, ugliness, that we find ourselves backed into a corner. And so some Christians are saying, okay, I'll call you whatever you want to be called. I'll love you and communicating that love through then just agreeing with the person. I need to just say this. This is my opinion. Okay, I very rarely opinionate from the pulpit because I don't think it's wise, because this is a place for God's word to be spoken. But this is such a contentious and such a confusing thing. I just feel compelled to give you my opinion on this. A man cannot be a woman. And that's not my opinion part. I'll get to my opinion in a minute. That part's Bible. A woman cannot be a man, no matter what surgery you've had. A man cannot get pregnant. A man cannot menstruate. God made us male and female, and he made it pretty clear. Here's the part that's my opinion. When someone demands that I call a woman a man or a man a woman, you're forcing me to lie. The Bible is pretty clear about lying. I won't lie in order to make you feel good about your particular decision. Maybe you handle it different. Maybe you disagree. I've had conversations with people I highly respect, and we find ourselves maybe handling it a little bit different. The bottom line is this. I will love that person. I will befriend that person. I will spend time with that person. I will walk with them. I will invite them into my life. Hopefully they will invite me into theirs. But I won't be dishonest. And that can be done gently. If it's allowed to be done gently. Sometimes it's not. It's tricky, isn't it? But I want to make sure we understand that patience is given, but there is a degree, there is a point when sometimes you have to say, this I won't. I won't step over that line. And it could be viewed as being impatient or intolerant or whatever word you want to attach to it. Am I making sense this morning? Okay, and please understand the difference between the Bible and my opinion. Okay, but I think it's important for us to kind of think this through. Okay, we listen to understand. We make allowances for each other's differences. Number 3, treat others the way you want to be treated. This is basic stuff. Philippians 2:4-5. None of you should think only of your own affairs. Pause. We shouldn't think just about us all the time. Don't think just about your own affairs, but consider others' interests also. Let your attitude toward life be that of Christ Jesus. Pay attention to others' interests. What do I like? Okay, that's great, but what do they like? What makes them happy? What brings them joy? What would bring them satisfaction? What would please them? And this is like relationship 101. Whether you're friends, siblings, spouses, whatever it is, that looking for the interests of others. Discover what they're interested in, and you'll start to then be able to be more patient with them when you understand how they tick. Let me ask you another, give you another test here. Could you name the top 4 or 5 interests of every member of your immediate family? You might want to write those down. If you've got a big family, got 5 or 6 kids in your family, it might be tougher. I heard Robert under his breath go, yeah, I could do that. Well, yeah, he's got 1 kid, 1 wife. That's easy, man. Come on, bro. True. Forgot about mother-in-law. It's all blown up now. Sorry, Sylvia. Could you do it, though? Have we paid enough attention to the interests of others, even in our own family, where we could write down, you know, a list, a column, and say, oh, yeah, this one, their interests and their passions are this. Boom, 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 boom. That would be a good exercise. So if we want to learn patience with each other that are near us, that might be something to do for homework. Take it home and really think about it and find out. Because a lot of times we get preoccupied with ourselves, caught up in our own little worlds, but the Bible says, pay attention to the interests of others. The Greek word for this word, consider, the word consider, is scopus, like a telescope. In other words, zoom in, be aware of the other person's interests. A study I read recently said most divorces are not because of anything else except for just lack of awareness. The spouses just weren't aware of what the other person truly wanted. They didn't take time to listen, and they got easily offended. And everything worked together to break apart the marriage. Matthew 7:12, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Of course, the golden rule. I think if we all lived like that, we'd be a lot more patient with each other. How do I want to be treated? I'll do that for others. That's why we have the markers and the behaviors that we have. Reach out first. Encourage others. Serve someone. Express joy. Those are all good serving others' needs first. And then last, remember God's patience with you. Romans 15:7 says, accept each other just as Christ accepted you. Aren't you glad Christ accepted you? Aren't you glad God's patient with you? Then how hypocritical are we? God is there. God is, I've given you all of this. I'm so patient with you. If I was as patient with you as you are to your sibling or to your parents or to your kids or to your spouse, then I'd have run out of patience with you long ago. But he's being patient. God's patience with us is vast. And so we've also got to give vast patience to others also. God loves the person. Get this now. God loves the person you're impatient with as much as he loves you. It's hard for me to be really rude or angry or impatient with someone when I know that God loves them as much as he loves me. He doesn't love them any less. How can I be so impatient with someone that God is patient with? How can I be so angry with someone God's not angry with? How can I be ugly towards someone God is not being ugly with? We got to see this life from God's point of view. Who irritates you? Who bothers you? Immediately, you got a picture in your mind, don't you? Oh, yeah, that wasn't hard at all. That was easy. As soon as you said that, boom, right in my face. God loves that person. God died for that person. God said, Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing. God bled and took the whip, took the nails, took the spear, took the crown of thorns for that one. That one. Can we show a little more patience with those that God is patient with? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's patient with us. You know, maybe some of you have not yet made the decision to come to Jesus. God's going to be patient with you. And I got to be clear, He's not going to be patient forever. There's a day when you'll breathe your last, and then there's no more chances. There's also a day when God the Father's going to say, okay, time's up. And now comes eternity. There will be a day. And that's not because He's unloving. He's given us this information ahead of time so that we're not surprised by it. So He's given us ample warning. I will be patient with you as long as we are here, but there will be a day. And then what comes next? Man, woman, teenager, God is being patient with you. Why wait? Why wait living without Him when He is so willing to receive you? He's not being slow. He's being patient because He loves us. And that same patience needs to be extended to other people in our lives. Let's learn to listen, make allowances, treat each other the way we want to be treated, and be patient because God is patient with us. Yeah, we're different. Differences create conflicts. But God is love. God is patient. Let's bow our heads together. I'd like us to maybe pray a prayer that something like this. Lord, help me to remember how patient You are with me. Help me to learn about the people I want relationships with by listening to them. Help me to make allowances for other people because of Your love. Help me this week to treat other people the way I want to be treated. And for those who may be considering committing your heart to Jesus, you might want to pray just a simple prayer saying, Lord, I can't believe You're so loving to wait for me. How often and how regularly I deny You. I do my own thing and live my life the way I want to live it. But yet You're still patient. You're still loving toward me. Today, Lord, I want to follow You. I want to commit my life to You. Listen to the Lord speak to your heart right now. Listen to what He's saying. For some of you, I'm sure He's saying, stop fighting. Stop resisting. Just come to Me. My way is easy. My burden is light. For others, He's saying, you're taking yourself way too seriously. You need to listen more than you speak. You need to have a much longer fuse. You lose it way too quick. And I'm not like that. I want you to be more like Me. If there's anyone here this morning still having your heads bowed, say, I'd like to invite Jesus into my life today. I'm not quite sure how it all works. That's okay, you don't have to. But I know this, that without Him, I'll never live this life of love, joy, and peace. And I'll never live for eternity. I want to make sure that my eternity is secure and that my present life is full of the presence of God. If that's you this morning, let me slip up a hand. I want to pray with you. Today's your day. We accept Jesus as your Savior. Now, I can't see everyone outside nor online, but you can seek God right where you are. And the Lord is patient with you. For others, which I'm guessing is probably a lot more this relevant to us, and that's this whole idea of having patience with each other. And I would say, Pastor, I've heard from the Lord today that I know that I need patience in my life, and I thank you so much for being patient with me. Help me this week to be patient with others. If you're praying that sincerely today, put up your hand and say, that's what I need to pray today. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. All over. Thank you. Father, you see these hands. You see the individuals, and you know their hearts. I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us. For those that do need you, pray, God, they would just step into that beautiful, beautiful relationship. For those of us that already know you, help us, God, to live more like you by being patient with one another. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to seek God this morning. Seek God for his patience. Maybe you're in a quarrel right now. The Bible says it's really not possible to worship me if you got an issue with somebody else and you both know it. Go to that person. Fix it. Make it right. Let's call upon the name of the Lord today as we linger and as we pray and ask him to really change our hearts. Help us to grow in this area. The elders will be on the two edges if you want to come and pray for something specific. If you want a little bit more privacy to pray, feel free to come. And there's front rows and steps. You can get a spot on your own if you'd like. But I do invite you to come and seek God. It's important to allow his Holy Spirit to do the work in us that we need. I know some of you may have to step out. If you do, feel free to step out and enjoy conversation out on the patio and meet your friends and just have, you know, it's fun in the sunshine. Let's be patient this week. Let's use God's principles and we'll watch how he'll replicate his Spirit in us. See the Convoy of Hope outreach table. I think there's another table out there for Pastor Appreciation. You can see that too. And let's seek God right now, all right? So come as you'd like for prayer. Stay as long as you'd like and go when you must. God bless.
So I throw my hands and praise you again and again. This is all that I have is love in you. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much of nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, Lord God, that you'd hear our cries before you. God, you hear our hearts as we plead to you. Forgive us, O Lord. Align us with your Spirit. Help us to be in unity with each other and with an overwhelming love, that we be patient with those around us. They would see and know that this love, God, is only from you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.